There are a number of projects ongoing that address the special case now with HLB-infected trees declining and what kind of intervention with nutrition can help. And I think with time, the industry is changing its own attitude about the utility of this. But we are funding research to look at some of the strategies that are being deployed in the field to first show whether they're replicatable or not and demonstrate with science principles how it's working, and perhaps even to identify what are the components in a nutritional program that make the most difference. So there's a fair amount of work going on. To date, it's not conclusive, and we continue to look at new opportunities to expand on that. So when we have growers say we have a solution and it looks pretty good, one of our responsibilities is to look into that and see how it fits into our current program.
So where do we go with this request today?
Well, I visited with the group that was here from the Indian River and told them that I'd like to sit down with them and talk about what they're doing and what evidence they have that it's working. And as you heard, they quoted some pretty interesting statistics on the productivity of their grapefruit groves under this program. So the next step would be to link them in with the people that are trying to figure out how to do this nutrition program and see if there's something new in what they're doing that would make a difference, and then we take it from there.
There were some members of the committee, at least one or two, who said there's a very small pool of researchers who can even do this kind of nutrition research or who have come forward with proposals for research.
Right, and it's a little bit of both. You know, citrus nutrition is something that's been studied for decades and well documented across the challenging soils and conditions that we have in Florida. And many of those people have retired, and so the pool of people are considerably smaller, but USDA and IFAS both have experts in citrus nutrition that have essentially helped write the book on citrus nutrition. And so, you know, the questions brought up by some of our board members today is, what's different about an HLB-infected tree that's going to require it to need different kind of nutritional programs? And those are the kind of things we need to look at. But as one of our other members said, we can't fund research if we don't get proposals. And so, you know, part of my role in following up will be to talk to those researchers and let them know what the industry's thinking in terms of problems or questions that could be addressed with research.
You will have a record budget next year, $19 million plus, I think. We're going full bore as we can at this.
Yes, and I think people need to realize that we've been going full bore since 2008 when we funded the first nearly $20 million budget. The difference now is we have enough research results that we're trying to channel this new funding to accelerate the delivery of some of the things that are nearer term. And so, as you would expect, after 4 or 5 years of research, there are some things that are getting closer, and the opportunity that this funding provides is to actually move those forward and remove obstacles to getting them out to the field, and that's what we hope to do with this funding.
There were some other comments today, maybe from Mike Sparks, that legislators indicated this $8 million for research this year might be one time. They want to find a silver bullet. Not likely to find a silver bullet within a year, are we?
Well, it's a difficult challenge because the state, as we all know, approves a budget each year, and they can't commit to multi-year budgets. So we knew going in that we would have to restrain our request to a one-year process. But I think we were honest with them from the beginning that the challenges are longer than 1 year, and we developed some milestones that will help communicate to them how their money has made a difference, and that incrementally, if they're willing to contribute further, here would be the next steps that we would pursue with it. So I think we have a healthy perspective, and it's really not that different than what we do every year with the industry and saying, here's what we've done, here's what we plan to do the next year.
You mentioned some research that's going to be coming up on fruit drop. Tell us about that. That was probably the most talked about issue this season.
Right, and another challenge for us, because at the time we received proposals for this most recent round, that was back in, you know, August, September, before any of the fruit drop had really started exerting itself. We didn't really anticipate this was going to be a bad year for fruit drop, so we didn't see much in the way of proposals. So in approving a project that's looking at the vascular system of trees that are infected with HLB to understand what's happening with phloem, we've asked that team to work further to add a field trial to look at the application of plant growth regulators to see if there's a way to minimize the effects of HLB on drop and at the same time learn about the plant physiology behind it. So today we approve some additional funding for this first year to get that project up and running. So it's a first opportunity to respond to the fruit drop.
You and I have talked before about the rootstock trials. Is there anything else?
Well, the process to identify what is it that needs to be done, stimulating some continuing dialogue. We're working with the university and with USDA to look at, are they prepared to maybe do early releases of these varieties or these genotypes, look into the industry to see what their willingness to take a risk and plant something that's not proven yet. So we're continuing to work with that, and it's an area of high interest by the industry. So it's capturing a lot of our attention at the moment. So we'll have some plans going forward here in the next month.
And you said we want to make sure we have them in every growing region in the state.
Well, of course. And, you know, if you look at the rootstock personalities across the state, different rootstocks perform differently. And so there's reason to believe that these will have an adaptation to different parts of the state. So in order to match them best with the growing conditions, we have to replicate these field trials in several different places and minimally in the river area in the southwest and in the central ridge. So that's the sort of the first step in just designing where would they go, and then we go from there.
Ernie Neff, Southeast AgNet.